Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. We're so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, go down, leave a review in iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. We do love those, and they help a ton. They do. That's a free way of kind of helping us out. Another way of helping us out is to help our sponsors. So first of all, Dr. Dish, if you're thinking of getting a team that wants to shoot the ball better and consistently put that round ball into that cylinder, check out Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking for a one-stop shop, if you're looking to become a better basketball coach, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking to talk to me on a regular basis, right, James? Then you can become a teachhoops.com member, and I'll put you on the bat phone and we'll take care of your specific needs. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
And it's perfect because you just funnel them there and they'll go. They'll just go. It's so great. But if you look at your basketball court, my guess is there's a volleyball court on top of it, right?
There is. Yep.
There is. So that is the perfect marking. So we basically try to push you out to the outside of the volleyball lines.
Okay.
It's perfect because most high schools. Now, I did run into a coach like 3 weeks ago that didn't have it because he got his court replanted and they didn't put the volleyball lines on. I go, bless you. But most people have it. So it's basically the volleyball court is 60% and then there's 20% on the other two. If you keep them in those 20% and don't let them reverse the ball, they don't know what to do. Literally, they don't know what to do because they'll just go. And then the key is it's not pack line, but the guy that's up to, because you're funneling, the guys, there has to be a lot of help and a lot of support up the line. Okay. But then once that ball gets to the corner, or once that ball gets to the baseline and you funnel down, the backboard starts working as a defender.
Right.
Because think about, there's that space. There's about that 3 feet from the backboard to the end line. And they get funneled down there and they don't know what to do. It's crazy. You can run it in man. You can run it in zone.
So I would think doing that, a huge part of it is picking up the ball, where you pick up the ball and how
it is. The key is we don't care which side you go down. We'd rather have you go to the left, but we don't care. But again, I have a couple lefties on my team this year, so go ahead and do it to us. But once they get it past half court, then whatever side they go to, that's the side we're keeping them on.
Okay.
And think about all offenses. What do all offenses want to do? They want to reverse the ball.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then for the guys in our league, it's like opening the candy store and saying, go ahead, you can have whatever candy you want. When you give them the baseline and say, go ahead, they go like, holy, but they don't know that we're coming.
Coach, is that a defensive philosophy or is it a defense?
No, so we run it about 40-50% of the time. We run straight man too.
Okay.
and then we'll do a little bit of change up. We'll run some 1-3-1. I think you gotta have length to run that 1-3-1 really effectively. You if you're tiny you and short, it's harder to run. But we'll run.
I just like it because people don't practice against it.
So I probably underestimated how much we run funnel, but we'll run it out of our matchup too. So our 3-2 matchup, which is perfect because everyone's kind of already in the right spots. But it, you know, I'm philosophically, if you score on me 2 or 3 times in a row, I'm changing my defense.
So Phil, as you say the word philosophically, do you believe your defensive tempo has to match your offensive tempo and offensive style of play?
Yes. It doesn't matter your tempo. The defense is where you can change tempo.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do believe, 1,000% agree with that, because it's kind of a basketball game is runs, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a feel. And sometimes your feel and my feel is not actually what's happening. I've told this on podcasts before that there was a time in 2019, I turned to my assistant coach who's tracking and says, we got to change our defense. And he goes, stop. We just stopped them 7 straight times. But we weren't doing what we needed to do on the offensive end. So my feeling was, oh, crap, let's change. He goes, it's not the defensive end. We got to figure something on the offensive end. The defense is stopping the other team. So what we'll do is, like, if you score on us a couple times just to get you out of rhythm, like it might be 2 possessions. Let's say you came down and you scored 2 or 3 straight buckets on us. We're in straight man. We'll go to the 1-3-1 for a couple. It's just enough to mess up their rhythm. Because think about it. Once they start clicking, like your teams, when you're running your LMU system, when you were clicking.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. But I would have done something to try to just get you out of that rhythm. Like, you know, maybe I'd go to a 2-2-1.
I think the hardest, to me, the hardest teams to play and the teams that, you know, I just hate going in their gyms and the kind of team I want to be is you have to play our style at night. So whether it's the break, whether it's a flex, you know, guy up the road runs the flex, and he's beautiful. You know, we'll defend for 30 seconds and play great defense.
Here's what I'm going to do to you. If you're running the flex on you, I'm trapping you. I'm doing something to get you out of your rhythm so you can't run the flex. I'm going to run funnel down against the flex because you're not going to reverse the ball ever. But I am going to do something. Yes, I want to be the aggressor. Here's your front line. I am going to come in and just your front line until I find a weakness. And when I do, I'm going to exploit it. So if I lose, I want to go down fighting.
Yeah.
I want more than.
You want to make that coach make an adjustment to beat you.
Right. And the thing is, I change my defenses. Could I run? First of all, I'm in Wisconsin. It's like pack line heaven because of Pennants and, you know, Paul Ryan and stuff, whatever. So I could run the pack, and I know how to teach the pack, and I could run it really well, and I could spend 30 minutes of my hour and a half or 2-hour practice just working on pack. I could, but what happens when pack doesn't work?
Yeah.
So I'd rather be 70% good, because I don't have my guys all year. I'm not a college coach. I'd rather be 70% good at 3 different defenses than 100% good at 1. That's my philosophy.
Also, and then, you know, if I'm in Wisconsin, how many nights you play? How many games a year do you play, Coach?
We can play 24.
Okay, so 24 nights out of the year, how many times are you going to see pack?
A version of it, at least half.
You know, and to me, that means that every coach, when they practice against their man-to-man defense, they're practicing against the pack. I don't want you to.
No one's running funnel down because I invented it.
There you go. You got to do something.
I'm going to make you. Now, are there weaknesses to it? Absolutely. And I have counters to those weaknesses. But I'm going to make you spend some practice time when you just played on Tuesday and now you're going to play us on Friday. So you're going to play Wednesday and Thursday and you're going to go, oh, crap, we're playing Collins. He's running the 1-3-1 or he's running the funnel one. So I got to put that in my practice. That's what I want you to have to do.
That's right.
Because now you're not working on other stuff.
So since I'm a Georgia boy, I'll talk football for half a second. Paul Johnson's at Georgia Tech running the flex bone option offense.
Right.
So, you know, Georgia, UGA has to at least beat Georgia Tech, if nothing else. So when Paul Johnson was at Georgia Tech, Kirby Smart put in a flex bone session to every single practice where they're going to see that flex bone every day at practice, you know, whether it be 10, 15 minutes, what it be, you know, but just the fact that he had to do that was a win for.
Right. It's like Wisconsin and Marquette. You can't lose to Marquette if you're the Wisconsin right. coach. You just don't do that. Yeah.
That's right. That's yeah. right. So, so, you know, it was funny when I got the Gainesville job, I actually had a very similar roster to what I left at Pacelli. So we came in and we put the break in and we started rocking and rolling. And I came in with a group of sophomores at the time and they picked it up well. We had the pieces to do it. Had a strong season this year and they graduated. You know, and I look to what's coming and I got a great group of kids and there's some talents and there's some strengths, but there's not the I don't see.
So do you have, first, let me figure out what you have. Do you have shooters?
No.
Do you have depth?
I have 10 kids who can do the same.
Okay. Can you beat the five best teams consistently on your roster? On your schedule, not roster, schedule.
No.
Okay. So now you have to be the connoisseur. And so you want less possessions. If I'm better than you, this is a math problem. If I'm better than you, then I want more possessions because the law of large numbers is going to tell me.
I'd argue that all day long. If I had a shooter, if I had two shooters, I'd try.
You got to get shooters. You can make shooters.
Yeah.
You can't from August to November, but for future right. years, you can always make yeah. shooters.
Because we're building them in the middle school.
Kids want to shoot and they want to score because then Jane will talk to them after the game and, you know, get a right. milkshake with her. That, trust me, they all want to score. So that's an easy thing to get shooters. Yeah. But for the progression, if you're not as good, you don't want as many possessions. How long is the shot clock?
35 seconds.
So you shouldn't even be looking at the clock unless it's a wide open shot till the 20-second mark, probably.
Mm-hmm. The shot, it's such a foreign concept.
It's a stupid thing for high school. I hate it. I'm sorry.
I think it takes away some creativity and it takes away coaches' opportunities to out.
No, it's going to make all the games look the same like they do in the NCAAs. So what you should do, because it's probably relatively new in Georgia, is you should have a 2-2-1 in.
Yeah, that's what some kind of contain.
You got to have a contain. You got to take 7 seconds off that clock. So now we're at 28. Mm-hmm. So now how can I get from 28 to 7? How can I get that 21 seconds off? So then in the last 7 seconds, what are they going to do? They're going to come set a pick and roll. They're going to do something. Well, when you do that, then we're going to trap you or we're going to have different calls for those last second. Because my guess is a lot of the last second things are going to be pick and rolls, ISOs, clear outs. Well, great. We're going to run man until the 15-second mark of the shot clock, and then we're going to go zone.
Yeah.
Something. You have to counter all of those things before people get good at it. Because especially if it's new, they're not good at it yet, probably.
Yeah.
They're not good at figuring out how to work it. It's like the three-point line when it came in.
So this year they said so the way the implementation is going is they said first year you can use it in tournament, like special tournaments, Christmas tournaments, holiday tournaments, all that kind of stuff. Second year, your regions can vote it in for region play and you can use it in tournaments. And then the third year, it's every game. So last year we had one holiday tournament where we used the shot clock. I didn't tell my kids until after the starting lineups were called for the game. Like, you know, that last second before we go out onto the court, I said, oh, hey, by the way, we're using a shot clock tonight. Don't pay attention to it. And, you know, first possession, we come down the court, make more passes than we've ever made before in our life. And we hear, you know, jumping up. You know, what was that? Oh, okay, we might want to be a little bit faster. So it's going
to
be.
I think 40 is okay. I can live with 40. 35 seems a little short to me.
Yeah, well, it was 30, and then I believe it was the NFHS that actually came out and recommended the 35.
Yeah, it's like it's interesting. I think schools are not going to be able to implement it the way they want because.
So I go back to my athletic director days. So you're telling me now I got to fund a shot clock operator for every basketball game and a clock operator.
Well, and they have to know how to run the shot. They need to know the rules with the shot clock.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think Alabama. When I was in Columbus, we used to play some games in Alabama, and I really liked what they did. They would send a three-man crew, officiating crew, and they'd run a two-man crew on the court, which is what I did not like, but that third official would keep the clock. So you wouldn't have, you know, Billy's dad over there.
Yeah, but geez, they have enough problems starting and stopping the regular clock.
Exactly. So it's going to be – it's going to be a interesting thing, but yeah, you know, basically I'm looking at going from running and gunning, getting up and down the court as many times as we can, you know.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Really no bad shot.
Are you going to be young?
We are.
Your lumps. Teach them the lessons then. Teach them the lessons. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be young, and I got a great group of kids who are willing to learn some lessons,
right?
And willing to do the hard.
What's the hardest thing? I always ask coaches. What's the hardest thing to teach?
It changes from kid to kid, but you know, with the girls, you know, we're really teaching confidence, really teaching confidence, and you know, you can do this. And I think a lot of kids today, whether it be boy or girls, you know, teaching hard work. And teaching how to be a gym rat, and you know, understand that being a gym rat's a really cool thing, and it pays off.
And, I know. And the thing is, it's like I've got a group that's a bunch of gym rats right now, and I haven't in a while. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's so nice. Like, I got to boot them out. It's like they're hoopers. Like when you get your hoopers, it's like, ooh, we got hoopers now. We got guys that can hoop. I agree. All right, so let me go through and ask you. Let me ask you my rapid fire questions because these are always fun to do. I always do these at the end. What's your favorite brand of basketball? The actual ball you play with?
The Wilson Evolution.
Okay. One word to describe your ideal player.
Tough.
You go to one sporting event in the world, what would you go to and why? You better not say the Masters because that's what I probably mean. I might say that after going to the Final Four. But
golf tournament.
Be the one event you'd pick?
Yeah, it's
you're so close though. Really,
it is, and I've gone several times, and we actually, my family has badges. In the past 2 years, not having the opportunity to go with COVID, it has made me want. You know, it's just truly is a tradition unlike any other, and it's a very special thing. And,
is it crowded?
It's very comfortable. It's very comfortable. You don't ever feel like you're in a Cracker Jack box.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's on my list. I went to the final, I've been to a couple Final Fours, which is unbelievable in my opinion. I didn't go to, and my son went to the, one of the final games. I didn't go, that was really close with obviously the Bucks playing, but that doesn't, I mean, I'd rather watch that on TV. I think the Masters would be more. Okay. I wondered if you'd pick that. What's your favorite pregame or postgame meal?
I never eat before a game.
You're about the seventh coach in a row to say that. Okay.
I never eat before a game. And quite honestly, if we lose, I'll go to bed hungry because I can't eat after, I really can't eat after a loss. And truth be told, after a win or whatnot, it's probably Chick-fil-A.
It is for me too. It closes at 10 o'clock. So I got to get everybody out. And luckily it's literally like a 3-iron from our school. So I can make it, but it's been 9:55 and it's like, all right, you got to go. I got to get the chick before. And they know I'm coming. So, what does your game day look like? Like your actual day at home, like you're playing at home. What was your game day look like as a coach?
So if we play on a Saturday or if we play on a day where we don't have school, I love to be I'm the first one in the gym by hours. And I love to get to the gym and watch a little film. I'm probably behind on laundry and having to fold clothes. For whatever reason, it's something I like to do. I like to fold clothes on game day and just kind of, it's a menial task that I enjoy.
You don't
doing.
Have to think about it. I know. I love walking into that quiet gym beforehand. I know. I love that too. Yeah. What's the one thing you do to relax?
It's changed a lot since I've had kids. If I honestly, the most relaxing I am is to get to the gym when nobody's there in my coaching office and I can, learn, watch film, whatever it be. That is the most relaxing to me when nobody's in the gym. I'm away from, love my kids, but when I get to be over, they're 9 and 5. So we're,
ooh, that's a tough, we were going to the state tournament on a regular basis when my kids were that age. So we would actually have two schedules. We'd have one schedule to give my wife, and then we'd have my actual schedule. Uh-huh. And because same thing, I needed to get to the gym earlier and to relax and maybe take a nap on the couch and kind of refocus. So my assistant coach knew this was like my schedule and Maya's schedule. And the other one kind of like, well, Steve needs to be at the gym. And I didn't really need to be at the gym at that time, but it was like, I love my kids too.
But you really do. I do.
I really did. What's one coaching technique you think is important?
I'm big on whole part whole. I like introducing the, whether it be an offense or a defense, this is what we're doing. We're going to break it down and then we're going to come back together.
Love that. Describe your perfect player in 5 words or less.
I already said tough, can shoot the lights out of it, can handle the basketball, selfless.
Okay. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, plays with the Lakers now. He was in my region for 4 years and filled it up with us.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Best basketball player of all time?
Michael Jordan.
If you could teach only one skill, what would you teach?
Shooting.
Shot clock, yes or no?
No.
If you could change one thing about the game, what would it be?
Selfishness.
One thing that helped you become a better basketball coach?
Becoming a parent.
Yeah, amen. Charge circle, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to stop you on that one. The officials can't figure out if their foot's on the 3-point line. How are they going to figure out if they're inside the charge circle or not? It's like, there's no instant replay in the high school level.
We have a problem of, I've seen it more on the girls game than the boys side, because a lot of coaches will have 3 good players. So they teach 2 kids to go take a charge anytime they get an opportunity. So you have these charge takers that are in the game and they're just.
Okay. So that's actually one of the best arguments I've heard for it, because I don't have a problem with it. I just don't think, so if you add the shot clock, did it hit the rim? Did not hit the rim. These guys are accountants during the middle of the day and then they put stripes on and try to come officiate a game. Absolutely. That's the only problem.
I will say this, girls are much better at taking charges than most of the boys have ever.
Yes. Boys are worried about how it makes them look. Yeah. Best game you've seen in person?
Oh my goodness. I have no idea.
Okay. That's fine. That's a good answer.
No idea.
Okay. Favorite quote or saying?
Be great. It's our team motto, and it's just something that's grown in importance through the years. Just when you wake up, be great when you go to school. Be great when you
That's simple. I like that. I might steal that for this year. Be great.
Yep.
Yeah. Quarters or halves?
I really like, I'm a quarters guy. I like the quarters.
If you want up pace, you want halves.
Yeah.
We play halves. We play 2 18-minute halves.
Oh, really?
We do. Okay. And I wasn't a fan initially. I missed the timeout, which is the break between the first and second quarter and break. But I missed that from a coaching standpoint. But the flow of the game, and like I've said before, you have to play more kids.
Yeah.
Because no one can play 36
minutes. That's a great thing. That helps in a lot of different areas.
It does.
One thing Georgia did this year is they adopted clearing the team fouls at the end of each quarter, which has prevented games from being free throw contests. So every quarter, team fouls goes to zero, and that's made a huge impact on our game.
That's it. That's an interesting –
Like the college girls game.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any superstitions? Did I ask that one? I did ask that one. Did I ask you if you had superstitions?
No, I used to drink like half a bottle of Pepto-Bismol in my younger days, but I've kind of.
I used to eat a quart of Oreo ice cream. That was one of mine. One word to describe your coaching style.
Passionate.
Okay. Best basketball coach of all time.
I'm going to go high school and say Morgan Wooten.
Okay. Best team of all time.
I would have to go with one of Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls years.
Yep. Jump ball, yes or no?
Please. Yes. I can't watch another basketball game with them. And you talking about the start of the game with the whole COVID thing this year and all that?
Yeah. No, I'm just talking about in general. Okay, so we can have a discussion about this. Okay. I personally think the jump ball is archaic. Either we jump all of them or we jump none of them.
Okay.
Here's the reason why. I think the visiting team everywhere in the United States should get the ball to start the game.
Okay.
So I'm going to come to your place. I'm going to get the ball. You get to decide how you want to defend me on that. And then when you come to my place, you get the ball. The issue I have is the officials can't throw the ball up.
Very true.
And because they only do it once a game. So we don't ask our boys to do things or girls to do things that they've only practiced. And the thing is, when you have a crew of three, that means one of the three is throwing the ball up.
Yeah.
They're not getting practice. That's my issue, is like either we do it or we don't do it. Because they're not any good at it. Like, right. They don't know. My guys can jump. Well, they underthrow it. They blow. That's my problem with the jump ball.
And for me, it's the pageantry. Like, you have all these pregame stuff, and then you walk out, and, you hand it in. It's just, I don't know.
But think about the X and O part of it.
Right. Like, oh, yeah.
The chess match would be crazy.
There's a lot more strategic things you can do going on the road, and you get to prepare it and – set your first possession up is pretty fun.
I think it would be interesting. One book you'd recommend.
So as a religion major, big fan of the Bible, I would go with the Book of Mark. It was the first one, the shortest one for the easy
okay.
read as well.
Okay. Yeah, my son worked his whole way through it during COVID.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So my last question for everybody on the podcast is, what would you tell your younger self?
Calm down. You'll get better with age. Coaching is a lifelong calling and career.
Yes. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yep. Slow down and enjoy it.
I know. It's like, luckily one of my high school friends, the first time we made it to state tournament, he had won a state tournament in volleyball. And he said, Steve, make sure you take a lot of mental pictures, make sure you enjoy the journey, because it's like one of those really fun things. And I'm so glad he sent me that.
Yeah.
Because it was true. It's like, otherwise I'd have been like, how are we going to beat this? I wouldn't have enjoyed the pageantry and the actual experience. Coach, thanks. Thank you. I'm sorry for keeping you so long, but I appreciate
this was great. Thank you.
This has been great. And thanks for being here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Also, subscribe and like. We do appreciate those. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.